flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adatula, Figgy Fig, and I'm sorry, I've gotten stuck in the numbers weeds right now. We will get to like what your belief level is in the various Houston general managers, because they're all doing some level of, you know, personnel management. I mean, it's a 24/7, 365 kind of proposition for those gentlemen, anyways. But they're all kind of these interesting places. Obviously, Nick Caserio is into the offseason, has some real work cut out for him, especially offensive line. But obviously, we're in that draft season. In fact, we were talking about how this week they're out in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
At the, I almost said Shrine Bowl, but it's a Senior Bowl that's in Mobile. You know, looking at various young dudes that have an opportunity to come into the league and make impacts. Obviously, you talk about baseball. Dana Brown is knee deep in what, or maybe not knee deep, depending on the way that you view things, in the potential negotiations to possibly bring back free agent Alex Bregman, or, you know, figure out what you're going to do. Like, is your bullpen complete? Is your outfield look right? Like, are they going to bring in another infielder? All those things. It's still a funny question to me. I still don't fully understand the Jorge Polanco thing, but I get if, you know, Spillane was talking to us yesterday, the idea of like, you know, buying low on him because it was a down season in Seattle. But then you also look at the Rockets, and they're actually in a place where it's the absence of moving that is speaks to the general manager and Rafael Stone not wanting to make that move, even though there's a constant parade of possibilities out there for, ooh, would you like to trade for this? Wouldn't you trade for this guy? Mm-hmm. I mean, De'Aaron Fox being represented as the most recent one, Houston kid. So what is your belief level in the general managers here? Like, how do you even power rank them if we want to get that spicy with it?
Yeah, we do have to kind of go down that road a little bit because, you know, when you look at all three of these general managers, to me, like, they all are very fortunate that they got associated with certain people. Now, let me explain that.
Okay.
Dana Brown clearly, you know, came in and it was pretty much set. In terms of the core players, you know, Jim Crane making the big decisions. He inherited the pitching staff.
Yeah.
He didn't necessarily have to have autonomy. Maybe he wanted it, but it was collaborative. You can think what
you want. He came in after a World Series.
After a World Series, all that. So how much of like what the Astros are and are still trying to hold on to is Dana Brown? I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, that's not to downplay his importance because clearly he's made some moves that have been big. And I think this Bregman thing might turn some people on him just because of sentimentality, you know?
Yeah, but I wonder...
But it might be the smart move.
How much do you attribute to him the Bregman thing?
Because it might like still be Crane.
The conversation is about the money and the lengths that they're willing to go contractually, and that feels like that is parameters. Not feels like, it's... It seems very evident that is parameters that have been placed on him, Dana Brown himself, by Jim Crane, the owner of the team.
Exactly. And now let's go to the Rockets. I mean, Rafael Stone was not doing very well and was getting widely panned, widely criticized for the job he was doing, including on this show for a number of reasons. Did he hire Ime Udoka, or did he just get lucky that that's the guy that
came open because he...
Yeah.
he was messing around in office.
Yeah. Yeah, and
yeah, but
and,
sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
But also, that was a Tillman and Patrick Fertitta production. There's no question about that.
I didn't realize that this was going to go to this negative of a place.
No, I'm just saying, I think I'm trying to lay out how difficult it is to say, you know, to answer your question.
Certainly.
About general managers here. Like, you know, we all have our opinions on who, you know, what is your belief in these general managers?
Sure.
I mean, I believe Dana Brown is okay. I believe Rafael Stone is lucky because he's got one of the best, you know, coaches in the NBA, and Tillman and Patrick Fertitta probably did the most of the legwork on that, which leads us to Nick Caserio in terms of hands-on impact, making decisions, most decisions. He probably has done the most. So I would say, as much as there's been some bad moves that we can all talk about or questionable, with Nick Caserio, he might be the guy that you probably have the most belief in.
So for you, have this as a Caserio 1.
Probably Rafael Stone 2, just because he did do some things, even though I didn't necessarily agree with him, and some of them backfired.
What are the things we're talking about backfire? Because as of right now, and maybe this is just the benefit of hindsight, looking at the situation is, you know, you've drafted good young players. You have... Also, I think we cannot ignore the position of power that they stand in, not just with having a whole bunch of young, talented players, but then also having a strong stockpile of assets.
Namely, Steven Silas.
Fair enough.
Namely, Steven Silas.
That hiring in particular.
That was awful. I mean, that was awful. And it's kind of hard to get over that, you know, and that was his. But at least as far as we know, and then probably Dana Brown. And again, they're all fortunate. They're all going to be in the hunt, if not, you know, certainly already in the hunt. But I think if I had to say, like, that you believe in that actually, you know, makes big decisions, has done some good things. Now you can't ignore those three big fellas up front that are getting paid a lot of money courtesy of Nick Caserio.
Right. And he's had a decision on all of them. He inherited from them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, the re-signing of a couple of them. And then, of course, the actual draft of Kenyon Green, who looks very clearly.
Yeah.
He looks very bus-like.
That one, too.
Like, he looked very bus-like. Even if I don't want to go all the way to be committal in that way. Yeah. He looked very like a bus. Yeah. I might not say that he is one in particular, but
he's trending.
I've seen some pictures.
Yeah.
And there are some familiar features in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, they're particularly.
And that's not a little thing.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you mean it's not a little thing? We literally just saw how that can blow up a season for you.
Yeah. But the money that he spent as well, and a little bit maybe hasty on some of these, giving up that money. So none of them are without their flaws and clear faults.
Yeah.
But if you believe, let me ask you guys, like you believe in this guy, you know, more than the others.
Honestly, this might shock y'all. I might be leaning a little more towards Stone as number one over Nick Caserio, just by a little bit, because I agree with you. I do think he got a little lucky because he got the right coach in and players started playing together and playing right. But he did draft, like, all the people we draft are panning out right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that with Nick Caserio because obviously Kenyon Green, and I feel like Nick Caserio got a little lucky too, man.
Yeah, right.
Just having the Deshaun Watson who ain't want to be here. He got those first round draft picks and he was able to do a lot of stuff.
But that was all him. He held strong.
Yeah, no,
it's going to take three first rounders, or we're not talking.
No, I agree with that. No, I think that was good by him, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think right now, just the Rockets are rolling right now, and all of their draft picks are actually playing really good.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about draft picks playing pretty good, we still have to come back and give Caserio his props. Like, now, of course, the Kenyon Green one as a first rounder, not your first rounder that year, but hey, your first rounder that year is a, as I have now deemed him, probably definitely erroneously, but I'm going to do it anyways, three-time Pro Bowler.
All pro.
Yeah, let me make sure I have it right. And Derek Stingley, right? That was a number one. That was a first round pick. Jalen Petrie has panned out, even in the face of maybe looking around and being like, I don't know. Like, that one's come around. in year, what, three there. Christian Harris, injuries there, but I think we are all sold on who he is as a player. Like, that is just the 2022 draft. Talk less of, you got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. Like, having the conviction, the fortitude to make that particular move. Mm-hmm. And those guys are both really obviously very good, but having the conviction to go on like, no, we're going to make that move. They were widely panned for. Like, yeah. Hey, man, you guys aren't going to actually be good. Why would you, trade your future first? Come around, it's like, oh, no, this was very obvious. And even without that future first in the 2024, right? Mm-hmm. You get Kamari Lassiter, who, I mean, if he wasn't a first rounder, but he might as well have been the way that he played this year. Then you add a Blake Fisher who played for you and looks like he has the possibility of holding down that spot for you. At least the possibility is worthwhile there as a second rounder. Bullock as a third rounder. Mm-hmm. Even Cade Stover, I think people are still happy about and still like. And I think if you're hitting in those early rounds, those day one and day two picks, I'm in a pretty good place. And I think really the reason why I asked this question, right, all the way around is just as you head into this season, Nick's got a lot of work to do. Like, and some of it is, of course, of his own doing when we talk about that offensive line. But he's got a lot of work to do there. Mm-hmm. There's still some depth issues with cornerback. Like, there's still some things that there needs to work on. And so ultimately what I kind of wanted to drill down and get to in some ways, you obviously have all these general managers in this place, but particularly you're hitting the hot season for Nick Caserio here, and there's some things that you need to do, and it's really going to be important to nail them for this team to reach the next level, because there's no longer are you in this place where it's like, oh, it's cool and you're moving in the right direction.
Everybody's sort of optimistic. Yeah,
now's the time.
There's more pressure on them with Nick Caserio on getting it right now versus like maybe the Rockets, who we didn't know they was going to be the second best team in the West this early like this. And by the way, they got all these draft picks that –
That's where Rafael Stone. Like, if you're going to argue, Stone, that's where I could say, yeah, it's a great point. And, because not only the draft picks, but hoarding not only the draft picks he made, but getting these other picks. And by the way, he deserves credit for standing pat so far.
He stands in a position of power, and he was right. Yeah. And how much of that do you just go, Ime Udoka is doing a fantastic job? But again, that's a part of the thing, right? Luck is a part of this as well. And putting yourself in a position to be fortunate and lucky, I think that he's done a good job there. I want to circle back around to Dana Brown, because I found this to be interesting. This is John Heyman talking about the latest with Bregman. Yes, we're going on the roller coaster again, where we've talked about it, I think, earlier in the week. We found out that Dana Brown apparently has not even had like continuous conversations with the Boris situation. That was just kind of out there. Yeah. This is the latest that John Heyman has on the Bregman situation.
If you had to choose one team that will eventually get Bregman, what team would that be? I mean, if we sit here today, maybe I would say Houston. We know kind of where they've at least have a starting point at 6-156. I'm going to say them, but I there is an alert of the Cubs. We just saw his great friend Ryan Presley leave the Astros to go to the Cubs. There are two Astros now on the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs are an interesting team. They're a fun team. You've got Tucker now in right field. You've got Presley now as the closer. That may be an extra alert for Bregman. I know that he and Presley were close. Maybe the Cubs could come in there. So I'm going to say one of those two teams. I think I tweeted that a week ago, that Houston and the Cubs were certainly big players in on Bregman. But I don't know that we're close at this moment. One of these other teams is going to have to step up. And if they step up and go to that sixth year or seventh year, the Cubs, Red Sox, they might be able to nab them, because we all know where the Astros are, and that wasn't good enough. But if I had to pick one team today and just guess – I might guess the Astros.
It's wild, man.
Is he going to win this negotiation just by waiting it out?
Well, that's their hope. But it is, I just can't get over, Dana Brown saying on the record to reporters, yeah, I owe him a call, don't I?
Yeah, how have you felt? Because that's another part
of
this,
I think.
Right, the general MO that these dudes have. And Dana has had a interesting one in which he's kind of forthcoming, but also very much not forthcoming in different ways. Like, how has that struck you when it comes to his tenure as general manager?
Just curious. All these reports, all this talk, whatever you want to call it, about, the Astros are back in, And he said, I got a text message from him a while back. I guess I need to call him. That just doesn't sound like a team that is aggressively trying to keep Alex Bregman. Or maybe they're just saying, maybe that's the game they're playing.
Yeah,
like, we gave you our offer.
I'm chilling.
We told you.
We not stressed over here.
Yeah.
You stressed over there.
I guess I'll call back and see what they want.
Hey,
look, ain't nothing changing. Yeah.
If you trying to hang out, you got to hit me up. I'm over here at the house. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you know my number.
You know where I stay too.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, that wouldn't be that'd be kind of a, you know, I was going to say brilliant, but it'd be a smart move, I think, just to kind of say, like, we're not moving. You know, if Raymond wants to be here, we're going to be here. So maybe he is doing that. I don't know. But, I think you can argue Stone or Caserio first, and I wouldn't say you're crazy either way. But Dana Brown seems to kind of be pulling up the
ear. And I'm still kind of giving Dana Brown a lot of credit, too, because we was criticizing him at that trade deadline.
You say?
Yeah. Yeah, we was just like, what is you doing? Like, and that came out to be a good acquisition.
I got you.
Although in retrospect, you had him for a few months and they gave up two.
Yeah,
they two prospects.
Two prospects.
Yeah.
So you can look at that several different ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So it feels like we as a show have gotten to a place where even while trying to give Dana Brown his props, and I think he's still also very early in this, in his tenure of being that general manager. Yeah,
and the situation was a little different too.
For sure. A lot different. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in this place where I think we have him third.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's interesting because Rafael.
You didn't give me your list.
That's why I'm trying to sort it out on the fly here because I really do. I have a lot of respect for what Rafael Stone is doing. And yes, he started in a place where it felt like it was bad, but I feel like that was also the situation that was handed to him in some ways. A place where there was not a lot to work with. They had kind of been ravaged in some ways by, you know, the James Harden situation and all of that. And he has built this thing up to where not only do they have a good young team, but also they have a good young team with a strong position of power with all these assets. Mm-hmm. They feel a lot like Sam Presti's Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a general manager who is getting a lot of plaudits. So I want to do a similar thing for Rafael Stone. So I almost want to put him first and Nick Caserio second, while also acknowledging that Nick Caserio is doing a good job. I feel like, all right, let me ask you this question. Is it unfair what I think my brain inherently does where I look at all these drafts and I'm like, yeah, how hard is it to go to Georgia, to go to Ohio State, to go to Alabama, to go to Notre Dame and be like, I'm picking that guy?
Yeah, that's fair to a degree, but somebody passed on him.
Yeah.
You know, somebody passed on him.
And see, when I look at Nick Caserio, all the good things he's done, I still look at some of the questionable decisions he made.
It comes down to Kenyon Green and paying Tyus Howard and all these guys up front.
Not only that, though. Yeah. Like, I mean, I would do this trade again. Don't get me wrong, but Stephon Diggs, he gave up a first round pick for Stephon Diggs, and you could have had Brian Thomas Jr.
Right, Ocho.
There.
Thank you for your input.
Like, I mean, I don't know how that's gonna go. I mean, I'm still cool with the move, but. He did do a lot of questionable moves where you just like, John Mechie. So it's a lot of stuff you could pick at Nick Caserio. I feel like it's not – I think we still waiting and seeing for Rafael Stone.
Right, and I also want to also be careful about all this because with being a general manager, and especially when we talk about draft picks, it is still a crapshoot just inherently.
Nobody
bats 1,000, and you've hit pretty well. I think ultimately one of the things that we could take away from all of this is that these teams have all been in a very good spot when it comes to, you know, management, for at least in this stretch, which is very beneficial. And they all have their varying challenges ahead of them. I think Rafael Stone probably the best situated all the way around because he feels like he has the least issues, and some of that is the way that they've set themselves up. He is at this point where it's just like, know when to wait and when to pull the trigger.
That's your strength right now. That's been it.
I think the best way to judge him is probably next year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year when you come into the season like, all right, we got to the second round or the third round or whatever. So, you know, championship time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's when you kind of really put a judge on and see what he do.
Yeah, did you pull the trigger at the right time there? But, yeah, man, all the general managers are in a really interesting place. And for Nick Caserio, this is the time period. This is the time period when it comes to draft season. We're like 3 months out, funny enough, of the draft still.
It's happening.
It feels like it's close, but also it's kind of far.
Yeah.
But then also free agency is coming up soon and then making those decisions on which of those guys. Because, I don't know that you can do the free agency spend in the same way that you did in this past offseason. All of that really lies ahead with your Texans and with your various Houston teams. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time to do our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this.
These
are my confessions.
All right, this might not go over real well in this room.
It's always a great way to start.
My first confession. So Adam Silver has been talking about, has talked about shortening the length of the NBA to 10-minute quarters.
Yeah, we actually have the audio of him talking about
Let's hear it. Of him talking about shortening it from 12 to 10-minute quarters.
I'm probably in a minority. As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of four 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game.
Here's my confession. I don't mind that. He said he's in the minority, then will then put me in there too for two reasons. Not just that, two-hour games, I get it. They're trying to make their game much more, you know, approachable for just average fans or casual fans and all that. But I think it also leads to this. Your stars are probably going to play a little more often. You know, the whole...
Cut down on fatigue? I had not thought about it from that perspective. Damn it, I might have to agree with
that. Yeah. The star... I got one, Figgy.
I was ready to cut back at you.
Like your stars are going to maybe play a couple more games or certainly be fresher for a lot of games.
I would think that would be the right approach, but I feel like that's kind of like when somebody make a rule and you find another loophole.
Maybe, but I think just minute that 82 games shortened by 8 minutes. That's a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I agree, but yeah. I still feel like the people that focus on like low management and all that stuff, I still think they're going to try to find some type of loophole to still get that off too.
But I just don't see how they could do it that often.
No, and you know? And we've had that cutback with the rules. Mm-hmm. Now I still think that the rules when it comes to awards, when it comes to for stars, where they can't be considered unless they have play 65 games or what have you. And we're going to see another year where we're going to miss out on some guys who probably would be well deserving of awards because they just can't play enough games. And that's neither here nor there. But I'm actually intrigued by this because I think the basketball game isn't all that long. We're talking about 2.5 hours usually. Now, start times is one of those things that really drives me up a wall. When you say, hey, this game going to start at 8:30 and then starts at 8:45, 8:50. That'll annoy the hell out of me. And that's one of the things they probably, like just being punctual to the start times would probably be very helpful. However, like the time of the game does not feel super long. Now, of course, I know that I'm in a minority of being a really huge fan.
Right.
And he's not wrong. There are other like college basketball games, WNBA games, basketball around the world, like 10-minute quarters or, you know, ultimately a 40-minute game is what they play. And seeing that, like being somebody who watches the WNBA, that 2 hours, like it flies. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess on to the next one. Like me personally, I'm like, I would like I'm still good with a little more basketball.
But you get like casual fans. Hey, I can check in on this.
Yes.
You know?
Especially and because you'll have that game stretch out sometimes in the close ones. And you're not wrong. Like we're not cutting down the season. I saw someone that was like, no, leave the time and cut down the number of games. The problem is,
yeah, they're not going
to
do that.
Nobody's giving back money to do any of this.
Yeah.
Like, nobody is going to cut the season down to 60-some games and then have less inventory for the TV product where the TV product is like, well, we can't give you as much money because you're not giving us much inventory.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. Mm-hmm. You can keep the same number of inventory and we can shrinkflate this is what's going to happen.
Yes.
We all learned about shrinkflation at the very least coming out the pandemic when all these companies was trying to save some money and they took 2 ounces out of your pancake batter box or whatever. I don't know why that's where my brain was. I think I recently bought pancake batter. Mm-hmm. Deal with it. But, we'll shrinkflate this. We'll take this from, 48 minutes to 40 minutes where you're still getting the same number of same inventory. Mm-hmm. Games are a little bit shorter, and you're not wrong. Where we're talking about minutes and really weighing on these folks are the dudes that are going to play a majority of these games anyways.
Yes.
You can pull some of those minutes back. Now, I do wonder, are you going to get the Tom Thibodeaux of the league where they're still going to give those guys 30-something minutes when we get to the playoffs, 40 minutes? It's just that now we're going to have fewer guys that rotate in.
Yeah.
Like, is that what's going to happen?
These are my confessions.
Super Bowl coming through here soon. Big game, whatever you want to call it. And advertisement season is here.
Mm.
And I got to confess, I'm sick of it. We're doing too much. Like, it's already enough that, you know, when you're watching a game, especially if somebody that actually likes watching the football, you're basically locked in for the entirety, because it's not like I'm watching the football game, I'm locked in, and then we go to the commercials where you typically, you know, turn to your phone or whatever, and now I'm locked in there because I want to see what these commercials are. Now I got to, we getting commercials for the commercials?
Before.
We got Matthew McConaughey doing an Uber Eats ad, like prepping his, what was it?
Was it
Dick Butkus?
Maybe.
I don't remember who it was that he was. For some reason, the name eludes me.
Yeah, it was Dick Butkus.
It was Dick Butkus. Yeah, it was like Dick Butkus. Prepping his Dick Butkus.
Actually, it was the SNL people doing Dick Butkus.
Like it's so much.
Shop Bears.
And I'm like, we're doing a 30-second commercial 2 weeks before the Super Bowl
to tease the commercial
during like guys. Were we not done? They did the when Harry meets Sally.
Yep, that's gonna be one
for mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That we're teasing that one. What are we doing, man?
Yeah.
This is too much.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what?
It's Mike Ditka is what it was. Dick Buck is the wrong one.
It was Mike Ditka. It was there we Mike
go. I was like, I knew I felt wrong, and I was like,
Coach Ditka.
Goodness gracious.
But you do realize, as much as it is frustrating, and I don't disagree with you, like, there's about 30, 40, maybe more percent of people that are there just for that.
Yeah, but the commercials themselves. I mean, that's why they ballooned to like $8 million for spots, and that's asinine, but hey, it's not my money.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really have to be bombarded with the commercial for the commercial?
These are my confessions.
So I got to confess, I'm so glad I'm out the house buying market because, I'm sick of being on social media and these realtors on there posting these videos like these big old houses, these big old mansions. I'm looking at one now. 6-bedroom, 3-bath, home office, game room for $284K.
What?
There's no way they're lying.
No way.
They are lying.
Because if they are telling the truth, that neighborhood is crazy.
No, they are not telling the truth. 45 minutes outside of Houston.
Yeah.
I looked all over the place. I ain't never seen nothing that nice for that low.
They're like 45 minutes outside of Houston. You in Brenham?
Brenham.
That definitely ain't Brenham.
Yeah, and it's still more than that.
Yeah. You are not buying a house for that price.
Mm-hmm.
That big old house for that price. I'm sick of the lies, man. Like
I don't know how they can get away with that stuff.
Yeah. What do you think? There's regulations on who does their TikToks.
But you're offering a real price.
But see, what they doing is they putting in the description, DM me, and so I could give you all the information if you're interested. But it's not that price.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're lying
to you.
The fact
that they're putting in a wrong price is what gets me.
Yeah, but think of it. The number of people that are actually going to DM you is so small compared to like the number of people who are just going to be like, ooh, look at this house. That's cool. And just
what's worth it for them.
They live the cosplay and what they get, because we're talking about social media in this instance, they get those engagements and that's all they
need. It was one time my wife got into it with somebody who did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, she just asked a question, where is this house? And he said, DM me.
No.
So it was just like, what? So she actually DM'd him like, where is this house? I'm just trying to see what area it is.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even give her the, he talked about, oh, I don't give out addresses, but you can sign up for my thing.
Oh, get it.
Like, bro,
he's scamming.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly. He's lying.
I hate that stuff so much.
No, that's so
irritating. I like the way you say he's lying.
He's lying. And I think they get a lot of people that's not from this area, like people that's in other states where they look at, Houston.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm moving to Houston.
Everybody wants to move to Houston.
It's a lie, man. Everything is high here, man.
We need a Figgy to do a drop on Figgy saying something. I like that. He's lying.
Nah, he's lying. as Judge Judy liked to say, full of baloney.
You're full
of baloney.
These are my confessions.
I've never been a trash TV kind of guy. You know, the reality shows and the Real Housewives.
Below Deck, though, right? That's a little trashy.
I watch Below Deck, but mainly to just gawk at the yachts.
Oh, that's different.
You know, the gawk.
Say, no. That's not trash. That's classic.
Yeah, that's different. Those are yachts. That's what I'm looking at, like how they're.
They're throwing champagne in each other's faces on a boat.
Yeah. He ain't paying attention to the story.
Now, it does suck you into the story just by default, but
what is this show again?
below deck or below deck Mediterranean is my favorite.
Okay, that is the first one that popped up.
Yeah.
On my DuckDuckGo search.
It's pretty sweet.
Why is there a woman with a trident on it? Nah, this is trash.
Yeah,
you're not going to tell me that this is some level of... No. This is about the
That's
boats.
Like me watching Love and Hip Hop for the rap music.
That's right. Yeah.
But my confession is, chalk up another one. I'm all in on another trashy show.
Uh-oh. I bet you are.
I'm all in on another trashy show. Have y'all seen The Traitors?
Absolutely The Traitors. Not. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Dude, it's so cool and it's so corny. Half the time I'm laughing at the show. And then the other half, I'm like, I can't turn it away. I watched two episodes last night. The Traitors is, I don't even want to get into what it is, but just Google it.
It is an American reality competition series based on the Dutch series. I'm not reading that in Dutch. I'm sorry. I ain't got it for you. Yeah. It is hosted by the Scottish actor Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
The first season was,
The Traitors is... Like so,
contestants in the game move into a majestic castle.
Yeah, they're correct? In a castle,
and they work as a team to complete a series of dramatic and challenging missions to earn money.
But four of them are traitors. So, and you don't know who the traitors are.
Okay. So that's
You're like, oh, that's like I was doing the figgy thing. I was talking to the TV man. Like, no, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that.
That reminds me of when you remember when was it CBS they had the mole?
Yeah.
that was one that went platinum. Did y'all
see
in my house?
Did y'all see that TV show? I don't even know if it's out yet, but they've been showing the previews for it. But I guess the family send their other loved ones out and about in the wilderness or something crazy like that. And if they can't survive, they tell their significant others back in the control room to push the red button.
Oh yeah.
And that significant other have the right, like, nope, just stay in there or push the red button and don't win anything.
Yeah.
That sounds awful, man.
It's amazing how these shows just suck you in. Like, if you described it to me, I would be like, oh, yeah, another one of those. And I'm like, I can't wait for the next episode.
I hate what it's done to television. Exactly. I'm not going to give you the rant because y'all know the rant.
No,
but
I'm not. Normally,
I'm
not. It just sucks you in.
I'm not blaming you. Yeah. Like, there's a reason why it works. It's catchy. Reality television.
Reality ain't real.
But
she's a traitor. What are you doing?
I hate what it's done to television. I really do. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Yes, I was going to be I'm going to be a pompous, presumptuous, you know what. Mm-hmm. I get it. I am that person, but I do hate what it's done to television. All right. But you can't hate what's happening on radio. In fact, I hope that you love listening to radio, because if you do, I got a way for you to win something just off of listening to radio. It is called the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest that Odyssey is putting on. All you got to do is listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app. For an hour each day for an entry. You get a daily entry into this contest. And you remember, the winner of the contest will head to Vegas with a flight and hotel accommodations for you and three guests. Plus, you'll get $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds at a college basketball tourney. So make sure that if you're listening to Sports Radio 610, go ahead and listen on the Odyssey app. Make sure you're logged in,
and
too.
And break us off something, man.
All right. Okay.
I'm broke over here, man.
All right, I'm surprised. If you that broke, you didn't dip into the into the donation money. Mm-hmm. By the way, we still haven't figured out if when we go to New Orleans, if we're actually putting that on black.
Double it up, baby.
All right, all right. What is it, like $50 in there?
Probably.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can make $100 for whatever foundation we ultimately donated to. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it is our Thursday staple for us now. Let's do a little buy or sell. Are you selling what these various people in, or are you buying, rather, what these various people in sports are trying to sell you? We'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Man, y'all love y'all some reality television.
Traitors, baby.
There's some people there's someone that said, Traitors is really good, John. Keep watching. It only gets better from there. So,
oh, wow.
There you go. There's people that are...
I feel dirty, though, doing that.
Don't.
You know?
Hey, man, you a grown-ass man. Do what you're going to do. And this is the thing. If you're going to feel dirty about it, like... that is your decision, man. That is
of all the things I should feel dirty about, that's probably not one.
No, I have no idea. I don't know about the things that you should feel dirty about, and I actually don't want to know. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to move along, just skirt right past that conversation into a little buy or sell.
All right, buying or selling, Figgy, Reggie. This one piqued my interest. He was actually on Jimmy, Brian Day was on Jimmy Fallon last night talking about this. But are you buying or selling? LeBron James tweeted openly wondering after he retires from basketball, does he still have eligibility left for another sport, as in Ohio State football? This is what Ryan Day said.
Well, first off, LeBron is a huge fan of Ohio State and has been a great supporter. But that being said, he'd be right in line with the freshman in the back of the room. We'd have to work his way up.
That's it.
I mean, he doesn't get any special treatment.
No special treatment. Oh. That's a real coach right there. That's a real.
LeBron James, eligibility after he retires to play tight end, presumably. That's what he did in high school for Ohio State.
Boy, if you don't take your big old self and sit down somewhere. College football, really? Like, this is the thing I don't get at all. And, of course, like, some of these dudes that I'm going to talk about played football. I will never, never understand the competitive drive that these dudes have.
Yeah.
That makes them so, like, so pent up when they're done with their sport where they're like, I got to go do something else. Yeah. That is more dangerous than the sport that I played. Like, all these dudes, these former football players that were like, I'm going to go box now. I'm like, for what?
Yeah.
You won. You did
you
it.
Won.
You traded on your physical. You traded on your body.
Yeah. You're a little UFC.
You're going to deal with
box.
It. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we're going to go UFC.
MMA.
Like, why?
What
why
are you
doing that? And LeBron really won. You got all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. And I know he's joking. And you know how I know he's joking? Because Savannah ain't letting him go do that nonsense. Savannah's like, if you don't bring your...
After all we've been through all these years,
you better go home.
I will say, man, I'm kind of interested to see if he would have stayed playing football though, because he was good in football.
Oh, he would have been a monster,
man.
I
love those videos from him in football, because you could tell that he was a monster. And the other thing you could tell is that his quarterbacks were
jeez. Did you see the way that dude was throwing the football?
His quarterbacks were bad.
Yeah. He was throwing like it was 1952, man.
Oh, 8-3-2. The way LeBron flops, he think he can deal with football. Let me tell you, friend, if you think that him trying to get over on the referees is going to mean that he can't lay the lumber, I will tell you again.
Yeah. Hey, he's still 260.
That is a big boy.
Yeah.
And he gets 0.2 to speed.
Body fat.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that everybody that's big is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I just would caution you on questioning his ability to be tough. I would caution you on that. You don't have to heed that. I'm not your daddy.
Yeah.
But I would caution to heed.
Sell, right?
Sell.
How about this? Dana Brown on Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers.
Okay, dog. All right.
He said,
sell. Okay.
Both are throwing and looking good. He hinted that both pitchers could be ready shortly after the season begins.
I don't have the budget to buy this. I've learned my lesson. Like this has a scam likely notification that pops up.
Yeah.
I can't afford to get my hopes up with the way that we've done this with the Astros, where it's like, oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, since I've been here, since I've been here on this show,
there's been
a few of these already. Talk less of the number of times. I can't afford to be like, oh, I got my hopes up. Yeah. I will believe it when I see it. Put him out on the mound, and then I'll get to that place. But no, I'm selling for the
time. I might put a couple dollars on Luis Garcia, maybe coming back a little after the opening week or whatever, but... I'm cool on Lance McCullers, man.
I think Dana Brown's the dude that sent you that email about a $284,000 house. Six bedrooms.
Wait. Hold on. You two throwing Forrest Whitley in there and we have a deal.
Oh, man.
All right. You buying this or selling this? Jerry Jones, talking about Jerry Jones, which is always fun, says, I have a good background in knowing what a good coach is.
So I've seen it when I was a pup. I have a good background in the makeup of what a coach is. To think that you could make a decision in an interview and not have talked, if you didn't and hadn't ever communicated or had a visit, I wouldn't dare have had an interview unless I talked to many, many people.
That's probably good there. He even brought the tears.
Yeah, but that was very...
It sounded like that movie script he was doing.
We forgot he's a good actor.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It was very look at me.
It sounded just like that.
It was very look at me, right? Because in that press conference, when they introduced Schottenheimer, Shoddy gets a little emotional, and Jerry's like, I got your emotions right here.
I'll show you what emotion is.
You better fall back. This is my show, baby.
I'm going to win an Emmy.
Here's the thing, right? I think our natural inclination is to sell. Jimmy Johnson,
obviously he hires him. Yes, he had just like that was his homeboy from way back, but he was a good coach.
Yeah,
Barry Switzer, yes, you know, had personal connections with him. Good coach. Chan Gailey, Dave Campo, no. Bill Parcells, good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Wade Phillips, didn't get what they wanted out of him,
but he's underrated.
Good coach. Mm-hmm. Jason Garrett, pass. Mike McCarthy, I don't personally like him.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly good coach.
Yeah.
Like, he does have a record of hiring good coaches. And here's the problem, right, Jerry? It's not about hiring a good coach. Are you going to hire a coach that gets it done? That's your particular circumstance. And even if you do, are you going to be able to allow that coach to get it done because your own personal shenanigans are going to get in the way?
Yeah.
So, like, I actually...
You're buying?
I might buy this a little bit, but it doesn't matter either way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to end the way that the Cowboys need it to.
I'm kind of selling it a little bit because I feel like all the names you named, like, we all know that they were good coaches, though. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of the Jason Garrett and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not giving Jason Garrett a coach, sorry.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like anybody can make those obvious hires. Anybody probably could have hired Mike McCarthy. I just feel like he's not really – he's making it seem like he'd be turning over every rock and finding all of these under the radar guys. Like, I know what a good coach is.
Right. He's not uniquely able to find a good coach.
Yeah. Like, I could get out there and hire the same guys he was hiring.
No, you're not wrong. And so I'm selling as well. And it does give me the opportunity to give a very unpopular opinion in some circles.
You just like those, don't you?
Because you mentioned Barry Switzer's name. I firmly believe they would have won more Super Bowls if it wasn't for Barry Switzer. Barry Switzer kind of had added one to Jimmy Johnson
with his guys,
and then things started to really crumble. But that's just neither here nor there. How about this one, buy or sell? Woody Johnson, Jets owner Woody Johnson, said he's not going to voice an opinion in football decisions anymore.
I believe he believes that. I am that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Even just today, especially if you've been watching on YouTube, Sports Radio 610, or on Twitch, which is 610 Houston, you will have seen. What did I talk about? Was it Tuesday? One of my confessions was, I realized why, you know, how sometimes I step on y'all's toes and y'all are talking and I'm trying to do better. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I think y'all know that I believe that. I have stepped on y'all's toes 2 or 3 times today. I've done it. And so in the same way.
So he believes it.
He believes it. I'm certain that he believes it. Woody Johnson, you can't help yourself, especially as the man who is in charge, who has the money. Mm-hmm. If you see something that goes, you can start getting that twitch and you're like, I think this should be like this. He's going to say something.
Yeah, just wait till the draft time. Mm-hmm. He's going to be like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Let's get this quarterback.
I want to see the look Aaron Glenn gives him.
Like, yeah, just imagine one of these quarterbacks, Shador, falls down where the Jets are. He's going to step in and bring that damn draft card up.
Yeah. I'm with you. All right. Pebble Beach Pro-Am, huge event. I think the kind of unofficial kickoff to the big tournaments in the PGA. Scottie Scheffler is his first tournament because he said he was out with after having surgery on his hand and he was out. He said it was because he cut his hand making homemade ravioli.
I'm trying to remember the process of ravioli, and I can't think of the instances where you really need.
I never made homemade ravioli.
I read the story. You got to kind of roll it out, the pasta, you know?
Yeah.
He said he used a wine glass instead of a roller.
I've seen people do that.
And the wine glass broke or whatever.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. It's also one of those things that's very convenient, and there's a lot of times in sports where the story that we get publicly is absolutely not the story that happened. And I know I know a few stories firsthand that were like, no. Yeah. That's not actually what happened. Yeah. So, like, I'm willing to buy it because it's plausible, and that's more of just a salute to you. If you lying, you did a good job because I can buy it.
Yeah, I'm buying it, too. To me, it sounds very innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was no funny, but I don't think he got in a bar fight or something like that.
I mean, I guess you never know, but I'm buying it too. I think I've seen that as well. You know, you're rolling out the pasta. Well, you have to use something. You don't have a rolling pin or whatever.
Do people still have rolling pins?
Oh, yeah. We got one.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. How about this buy or sell? Hal Steinbrenner says the Yankees can't compete with the spending the Dodgers are doing.
I'll sell that, but I do think that there is some level of like a small truth in here, which is that owning a team, we think of it as like, oh man, this is a thing for the rich. It's becoming a thing for the super rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw Mark Cuban get out the game to sell it to an even richer organization, Like Mark Cuban existed as, and I mean, before he sold, he was like one of the in the middle, maybe towards the lower of the like net worth guy, folks, owners. Owners are now the super. We got the Waltons in this thing, right?
And
we
have more conglomerates
and Adelsons, and we're it's taking like real multi-billion-dollar situations in order to own these things. We're talking about the Ballmers of the world, where if you were just like a mere multi-millionaire, this gets real tough for you, right? And I guess you would have to be some level of billionaire to afford it at this point at these levels, but. Man, Wick Grusbeck, the owner of the Celtics, they won a championship, and he immediately put that team up like, yo, I'm going to sell this because if you, unless you have like a ton of money, it's actually getting a lot harder to own these teams. There's so many more expenses as these things go up. There's a lot of income coming in, don't get me wrong, but there's so many more expenses. But you're not going to get me the way that he's trying to sell it, as in like, oh, man, we're just so poor. Nah, y'all the Yankees.
Yeah. Bro.
I'm kind of buying it a little bit because I feel like all these owners can compete with the Dodgers. Now, I feel like they don't want to compete with the Dodgers.
There you go.
They're trying to see how this going to look.
Yeah.
Now, if the Dodgers go on this dynasty run, then I think you'll see more owners like the Mets maybe just go all out and put everything on the back end and just say, screw it, we'll figure it out later. But I think right now, I think every owner is watching the Dodgers. Trying to see how this season going to go.
I totally get what both of you guys are saying, but I would sell this in half a second.
Okay.
You're the Yankees, as you put it, first of all.
Have some shame.
And if the Yankees cannot, he said can't. He should have said won't.
Won't have the same effect.
The Yankees certainly can compete with what the Dodgers are doing.
They can,
they choose
but,
not okay. to compete with
well, the that makes sense because I was going to say they can, but is it smart?
Well, it might be. I mean, you know, who knows? They're the Yankees. If the Yankees can't compete with what the Dodgers are doing, who can?
Like, financially, is it smart?
Who can? Steve
Cohen and his
because I don't know how this going to look for the Dodgers in, what, 2035 or whatever.
Hey, it's all deferred this stuff money, man. Deferred money.
Yeah, so.
Well, here's the thing, right? We talk about the Regional Sports Network. That money's not going to dry up. The Dodgers' brand is not going to dry up. And the individual money that those guys bring in outside of the industry of baseball, it's not – I doubt is going to dry up. I guess you can't say that in this definitive way. They'll have the money to come.
Yeah, they're going to have the money, but was it worth the spin if they don't win any championships or they don't win
I just
what
like
they
the fact that they're
was.
Going for it, but they can do it. One more real quick one here.
Also, I do want to say, when it comes to worth the spin, where championships ain't the only metric. That's one of the weird things about sports is that you're doing two businesses at once. You're competing, but you're also
Trying to win, though. Yeah. They're trying to win.
Real quick one here. Caitlin Clark, we mentioned her earlier, said she declined the NBA three-point contest shootout because she wants her first one to be in the WNBA All-Star game. Are you buying that?
Sure.
I'm buying that.
I'm selling it, but only because of my own skepticism and speculation here. Her agent had to have told her a million times, what are you thinking? I mean, the WNBA shootout is not going to be but a blip on the radar, whereas more opportunities, more money, maybe even appearance money.
More money from where?
From like, endorsers, sponsors.
Those endorsers already have the money in on her.
No, contracts. Future endorsers, future sponsors, brand even bigger.
We're talking about the All-Star. No. But
footprint on American television landscape.
She has.
Who's going to watch the WNBA shootout?
She's not making her money. Nobody, it's not increasing her profile to do the NBA All-Star Saturday night. In fact, we're talking about this because she's bringing viewers to the NBA All-Star Saturday night. That's
absolutely would increase her profile.
I think you're significantly
NBA.
Overrating what that would do. She doesn't stand to gain very much from doing that.
Sabrina Ionescu about that.
Yeah, but we're seeing Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark are not in the same place because y'all weren't talking about the WNBA being taken over by Sabrina Ionescu in the same way as Caitlin Clark.
Every bit.
We can't have our cake and eat it too here. Just to salute back to yesterday in trying to make Caitlin Clark the single reason that she's building up the WNBA and women's sports and then come back around and say, but she has to come back to the NBA Saturday night that y'all talking about y'all don't want to watch in order to get some money off it. No,
yeah, but they would watch more would watch.
But what's the benefit for her though? Like that, personally, like
brand and money.
But she got
the brand is big as hell already.
Yeah, she
okay.
Yeah, she got the biggest shoe deal for.
Yes, so did LeBron.
And he ain't doing
and he keeps branding.
And he not doing the dunk contest. He never has done the dunk contest. Exactly.
But he's continually building his brand is what I'm saying. Yes or no, real quick, we're going long. Did her agent want her to make that decision or not? The answer is no. He did not want her to make that decision.
And possibly. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And yes, you're right, 9-2-9. I feel like this is absolutely a setup for a fight in the cap in next CBA. 100%. This is an opportunity for them to cap spending in MLB. All right, coming up next in the loop, how locked in have you been on draft things as we're gearing up there? I mean, we talked about Caserio and D'Amico Rines both being a Mobile for the Senior Bowl. How locked in have you been on those things? We'll talk about that next.